Tonight we have a teaching from Father Rick about praising and thanking God in all things.
A couple of weeks ago, I was driving home from here. I was going down a side street. A policeman pulled me up. So I stopped and he came walking up. And he said, "Do you know you were speeding?" And I said, "No, I didn't." He says, "Well," he says, "you were going between 30 and 35 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone." And I said, "Well, I apparently missed the sign back there." I said, "When I realized I was in Addison, I tried to slow down." And secondly, he says, "Have you anything to drink tonight?" I said, "No, I've not had anything to drink." He says, "Well, you were weaving down the road, speeding." And I said, "Actually, the only thing I have in my car is this water jar, this water bottle." And I said, "And I've just come from a two-hour meeting, a Christian gathering." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, they don't do much drinking there." I said, no, we don't. And he said, "What was the reason you were kind of weaving in and out? At first you're on one side of the road, then on the other." And I said, "Well, when I am at night on these secondary roads," and I said, "and they, especially if they're not well lit," I said, "I've had a few friends tell me the stories where they have known other relatives or some friends of theirs who have been going down streets where some pranksters pulled off the sewer lids, and then the people have hit the hole and had a flat tire or bent their axle." And I said, "When I'm on these kinds of streets that are dark," I said, "I'm looking out for where sewers might be, and I try to avoid them." I said, "Because I'm 78 years old, and I am not going to get out of my car at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night and try to change a tire. So I try to avoid those things." And he said, "Oh, okay." So he took my license, came back. He didn't give me a ticket. And he says, "You know, that gives me pause, what you said." I says, "Why is that?" He says, "Maybe I need to arrest those cars that just go straight through." I said, "Well, whatever." But he walked back to the car, and before he left, I said, "By the way, I want to thank you for stopping me, because you're doing your job." And I said, "That's a lot better than letting people who are high on drugs or alcohol get a pass." And he thanked me for that. I think the thing is, we can so often take situations and turn them around and recognize that God can use these things for good. When we come along and say that we want to live in the divine will, we really have to understand that our lives, as followers of Christ, our lives are lives of yes. Somewhere in the scriptures it says that God is only yes. He is not no. And what that means is that God is always doing in our lives the things that are positive. Even when we may look at a situation and think of it as a negative, as something that's bad or hurtful or whatever, if we understand really who God is, then we know that God is always working for our benefit. And it doesn't matter what the situation, God is yes for us. When things go awry, we don't have to be particularly upset. I mean, we may not like it, but a lot of times God allows those things for his reasons, for his yeses in our life, because he may be teaching us something, he may be helping us with something, he may be benefiting ourselves or somebody else because of what's going on. When we come along and say that we try to, and want to live in His divine will, then our whole life, from the moment that we wake up every morning to the time that we fall asleep and are asleep in our beds, God is in our life as a yes. He just simply is not a no. He is always positively working in our lives, not just for our own benefit. He may be doing it for others. I remember some time back, it's way back, there was a couple here from Lighthouse who I was talking to, and they were in bed, sound asleep, and the wife woke up. And when she woke up, it was the middle of the night, she was wide awake. There was something on her mind. She kind of elbowed her husband. She said, "Wake up." He said, "What the heck's going on?" She said, "I woke up and in my mind," she said, "I was hearing this pray for some friends of theirs." I'll just say Jim and Alice, whatever. But I had this thing that said, "Pray for Jim and Alice." And I don't know why. But because it was so strong, I think we should spend some time praying for Jim and Alice. And he says, "Why should we pray for them?" Yeah. He says, "Aren't they at home?" She said, "I have no idea where they are." She says, "We just need to pray for them." So they began, so the husband agreed, and they prayed. And I think they said they tried to pray for them specifically for about an hour or so. And after that, it kind of passed, and the wife said, "Okay, I think we can go back to sleep," you know, and they did. And that was the end of it. Nothing came of it, you know, and they went about their business. Several months later, they ran into these friends. The couple that prayed for them, it was out of their mind. They weren't thinking about anything. And so they got together, and they were talking, blah, 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 blah. And as they were talking, this Alice was talking to them, and she said, "You know, we were on vacation a couple of months ago. We went down to Florida." And she said, "We decided to drive straight through." And she said, "The weirdest thing happened." She said, on the first night, when we were traveling down to Florida, she said, we were on the expressway, and it was no other cars. It was late in the night or early in the morning, and we were going down there. And she said, we had a front tire blow out on us. And she said, we were, you know, going pretty fast down the expressway with no cars. And she said, and the car jerked off the road, and we wound up in trees and bushes and all kinds of, you know, and he was trying to get hold of it. And she said, suddenly we were back on the road. We don't know how we even got back there. She said, because we were in all this jungle group. And she said, and he was, you know, able to get out. Neither of us were hurt. He was able to get out, fix the tire, and we went on our way. And of course, she told this lady, her friend, and the lady said, when did that happen? And she said, "Oh, I don't know." She says it was, you know, like late at night, early in the morning, 3 o'clock or something, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And she says, "I'm going to tell you this, but when did this happen?" She told her the time they were on vacation. She said, "You know, I and my husband," she said, "we were asleep." And she says, "I was suddenly awakened." And she said, "And I looked at the clock, and it was getting close to 3 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up my husband, and I said, we need to pray for Alice and her husband right now." And she said, "We prayed for you for about an hour." And she said, "It was just at that time that you just said you had your accident." Of course, they were both amazed. You know, both couples were amazed at the situation. But this is what God is about. I know there are plenty of people out there that hate God and don't think God exists and they don't want Him to exist. God still loves them. Even when the people don't want to hear it, God is saying yes to these people because He still wants them with Him. we have to understand that as we live out our day-to-day life and try to be a part of this divine will of God, that we have a serious responsibility to look at our day-to-day life in the light of God's will. Not as if we are traveling our life alone and every once in a while God steps in and says, here, do this or do that or whatever. No. That if we live within his divine will, he is always traveling with us. He is always with us. He never leaves us. I think so many people, even Christians, believe that they go through life by themselves, except sometime when they pray and they get a little blessing here or there and they say, well, God answered my prayer. But other than that, I'm on my own. That's not true. It's just not true. God travels with every single one of us. We may not acknowledge it. We may not pay any attention to him, but he is always paying attention to us. He is always walking with us. You know, when you hear that story of the two walking back to Emmaus, Clopas and his wife, I'm sure it was a husband and wife. Mary was, I think, the one at the cross. And Jesus comes up on them. And he doesn't tell him who he is. And he explains all the scriptures and everything, goes in and he has a meal and gives them bread and says a blessing and disappears. And what does she say? She says, when he was talking to us, weren't our hearts on fire? And we didn't even know who he was. We just didn't recognize him. And this is the way it is. God will do in our life, whether we pay any attention to him or even at the time recognize his presence in our life, he is doing something. He is walking with us. I think I mentioned this, this happened, I don't know, before Christmas or something. And I think I mentioned this fact that I lost my wallet and I couldn't find it. And looking around, I was very upset. You know, you have license and credit cards and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I was really getting bent out of shape. And when I went home and not being thinking where I could have, I said to myself, I'm not going to get upset about it. God knows what he's doing. I don't know why he wants me to go back to the Department of Automobiles and get a new license and do this and call the Social Security and call my credit. I said, God has his reasons, but maybe he feels I waste too much time doing other junk, so he wants me to do this. I don't know. But I said, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just, you know, I'm going to get my car and I'm going to ride around to the places I lost my wallet in. And I get in my car and I'm driving to this bank just because it's one of the places I was at. But I'm saying, you know, maybe they found it, maybe they didn't. But as I'm driving, I hear strictly in my head, I let you lose your wallet because there is somebody I want you to meet. And it was as clear as a bell. I let you lose your wallet because there's somebody I want you to meet. So anyway, I drove and went to the bank that I was at. I got out of the car, opened the door. I didn't even walk in. I just opened the door. The tellers were there. And I said, you know, I was just here. Did anybody find my wallet? I said, I lost it. And everybody behind the counter said, no, nobody turned anything in. And I said, okay. And I let the door close, and I turned, and I heard, hey, Father Rick. And I opened the door, and there was this person, a friend I knew, haven't seen for ages. And he said, hey, how are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Lo and behold, he wanted to get together with me and do some talking. And I went home, and we set up something. I went home and I got a phone call from the very bank. I had been to one of the managers to work something out, and my wallet had fallen out in their chair, and she found it, and I was able to get it back. But I said, there is no way in the world that I would ever run into this person. He's on a whole different tangent than I am. So it was just stuff. And yet God came along and said, here, you're going to run into this person because I want you to meet him. And when I left, you know, I thanked God. I said, well, thank you. You know, I said, something I don't like, but nonetheless, God uses it. And I had to thank him for that because I said, you know, what we have to talk about is important to this person. I think that there is one of these kinds of things that we have to get a hold of our lives, that whatever, you know, even if our roof is ripped off by a tornado, but we come along and say, God, thank you. I needed air conditioning. This is the way I can do it. You know, I mean, I don't, that's an exaggeration, but the point is that we understand that sometimes God allows really bad things, but it's not because he doesn't care for us or he doesn't love us, or it's because he is saying yes to what we need. Yes to what will help us come to him in a stronger way. He says yes to us so that we can be the people he wants. You know, you look around, people just don't want to have anything to do with God. And we may feel angry at that, but we have to understand that God is saying, don't worry, because there is going to come a time when my yes is going to change the world. And the people in nations, wherever they are, I just saw a little thing in the internet before I left that said, a brief study has said that there are 26 nations right now in our world that are godless. That is, that they don't encourage religion. Religion, God is not a part of their political structure. They don't want religious exercises in their country. They encourage people to kind of abandon God and just depend on the government. And you say, wow. And I'm not talking about some Turkestan thing. I'm talking about Denmark and Norway and France and Germany and Spain and Italy and Australia and England, and plus some of those other little countries that sometimes you don't hear of. But it's like the world is just pulling away from God. And God's allowing it. And we shouldn't be down on that, because God is in charge of our world. And to all of these nations, he is saying yes. He is saying yes because he's going to give them an opportunity to take the situations that are going on and allow them to become a blessing for them when he calls them back to faith. Today's my mom's anniversary of her death. She died in 82. My brother-in-law's father, stepfather, was a Christian, but a Protestant. But when he was dying, his wife was visiting him in the hospital. And when he was dying, his wife came in one day, and he was really down. He was really depressed. She said, what's wrong? And he says, you know, he says, I don't think I'm going to get any better. He says, I'm just ready. I want to go home. He says, but I'm worried. She says, what about? She said, well, he says, I've tried to be a good person. He said, but I was never much on going to church. And I'm worried about that. And his wife didn't say anything because she didn't know what to say. So she just said, well, very, you know. And anyway, so he goes to sleep that night. And it was again at that magic hour, about 3 in the morning, he awakens. He's wide awake. this thing is in his hand. You know, I don't know what God's going to do. I just never really went to church, you know, and he's worried about that. While he is lying there in bed, somebody comes up the corridor and opens the door and says, "Can I come in?" And he said, "Yeah." And so this person comes in and sits on the edge of his bed and starts talking to me, and they go back and forth. But this person came along and basically said, "I came to tell you that everything is okay. You don't have to worry about it." And they continued to talk, and finally the person said, "Listen, I gotta go." Got up, walked out the door, and he fell back to sleep. The next day, when his wife came in, he basically said to his wife, he said, "Didn't Mrs. Dressman die about a year ago?" And she said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, she came to me last night, and she sat on the edge of my bed, and we talked for about an hour. And he said, she told me that everything is all right. I don't have to worry about a thing." And she really gave me a sense of peace. And we talked and talked about some other stuff, and then she said she had to go, and she walked out the door and disappeared. And he says, "But I think she was really helping me to understand that God's ready for me." That night he passed on. He died. But he died at peace. And I think that this is God's care for us. He says, this is his concern for us. He wants us to trust his love so that everything that's going on in our lives, God has a reason for. And the reason is good. The reason is that he wants us with us more than we will ever understand, that we will ever be able to comprehend, or will ever wonder why he would ever want me to be with him forever. But that's God. And that is his yes to every human being that he brings into existence. It is a very sad fact that those who are destroyed before they come to the fullness of life, God still loves them, God still wants them. And so we have a great mission to make sure people understand that we are not just science and technology, but that there is a God who runs this world so that we might be with him forever.